Well, good morning. Always good to be here and sharing some ministry at the Bridge. Just pardon me, I've had a bit of a chest infection this week and my voice is a bit croaky, so if it grates on you, I'm sorry about that. Over the last 4 weeks, you've had a series on Burning Brighter, which is really, I suppose, based around the scripture where Jesus speaks to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says that you are the light of the world. And so I think it's Eleanor, Richard, Aaron and John Andrews who shared on that subject. And as I was thinking about that, just before Jesus actually says, you are the light of the world, he precedes it with another statement that often people overlook and maybe don't make a lot of sense of. Because he also said this, and this is the scripture I bring this morning. It's in Matthew 5:13. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the salt of the earth. Well, I can understand the light of the world bit, because it makes sense that, you know, light does away with darkness. Darkness can't exist where light is. Light reveals stuff that is hidden in the darkness and all those kind of things. But when it comes to you are the salt of the earth, what does that actually mean? In fact, on first reading, and because I know a little bit about salt from what I did at school, it could seem to be quite an insult. You are the salt of the earth. Now, why could it be a bit of an insult? Well, let's look at two reasons, first of all, why it could be an insult. I'm going to put some items on the gentleman at the back is going to put some items on the screen here. And I just like want a bit of audience participation just to shout out how much you think these cost. And it was from either Aldi or Home Bargains. So the first one, just a rough idea. Oh, well, that many there, I didn't. And I know I was at Horwich last week having to do this, and someone said £3. I thought you must be joking. Those actually £7. That's shrinkflation, right? Because they've gone smaller. And the next one, Henry, please. That's 5 litres of engine oil. Just a rough idea. Okay, it's £17.99, and that is at Home Bargains. And actually, if you have your oil changed at a garage, it would start at £50 now for an oil change, between £50 and £80, probably something like that. And then the next one, please, Henry. Some Persil, which will give you 58 washes. What do you think? I don't know why I'm asking, because I can't tell. Anyway, it's $9.99, and I know it's expensive to buy that kind of stuff now. Next one, Henry. We've got 4 chicken fillets, which would last you one meal if there's 4 of you. Right, okay. That's actually £6.50 at Aldi just last week. Okay, I've got you all going now, haven't I? And then this next one, next to the last one, this pizza. I don't know what size it is, but it's a big one. £3.99. Someone put it bang on over there. £3.99. Right. Last one. How much do you think this is? £0.65. And that's probably been in our cupboard 2 years. So can you see the points I'm making here when you see the price of certain things and the price of salt? What is it? It's cheap. So when Jesus said you are the salt of the earth, is he saying you're cheap? Hey, don't worry, it gets worse. You see, because secondly, salt is also throwaway stuff. So some people who believe in things to help you with luck, they throw salt over their left shoulder because they believe it brings you luck. If you watch the sumo wrestlers in the ring, I know the name of the ring, but I forgot it, but in the name of the ring, they throw salt into the ring, big handful of salt, where they believe it's warding off evil spirits and it's, can I say, it's spiritualizing the ring for the fight that they're going to have. When I was a young lad living in Shewcroft Avenue in Denton, I remember sometimes slipping outside our back door, there was 2 things that you could slip on. One was ice, and my dad would get a box of Saxo salt and just throw it on the ice. But it also, something else you could stand on that you could slip on. Anyone knows? Slugs. Now, maybe you don't say this today, but my dad used to just put it on, sprinkle it on the slugs. So salt is cheap. And salt is throwaway stuff. And Jesus says, you are, you are the salt of the earth. But that is not what Jesus is meaning when he says you are the salt of the earth. There's a few meanings. And I want to look at three qualities or three characteristics of salt that the Bible is asking us to replicate. And replicate actually means the exact copy, to replicate in our lives. And the first thing is this, that salt is concentrated. It only takes a little bit to affect the food. Many years ago, people just had salt pots, salt and pepper pots. I know when we got married, we got about 12 or 13 sets of salt and pepper pots. In fact, they're probably still some up in the loft from all those years ago, salt and pepper pots. And then it became a bit posh, and then you call it cruet sets. And then it got a bit posher, and then people had salt and pepper mills or salt and pepper cellars. So you may have all these things in your house. But you know, before all that, people used to have in the middle of the table a little bowl with salt in. And when they had the dinner, this is what they took. They took a what of salt? A pinch. Because it only takes a little bit to savour the food. A pinch of salt. Because it's concentrated. Maybe when you watch the cooking programmes, I do this, I can't cook a thing, but I do like watching the cooking programmes. Notice they say, a tablespoonful of this, and a cupful of this, and so many grams of this, and then a pinch of salt, because it's concentrated. Now, God can do a lot with the little that we have. See, so really, we are concentrated in a sense. We might not have a lot to give. Someone said this, that one with God is the majority. And God seems to work in a peculiar way in the Bible, one with his arithmetic and two with this whole process of what we call synergy. Synergy simply means I do something, I can do so much on my own, Helena can do so much on her own, but if we work together, we can do more together than the two additions of what we can do individually. And I find that God with his mass in the Bible is quite amazing, because it just shows you that what God can do with the little that we have, because it's concentrated. Paul says this, he says about himself. He says, Paul is nothing. This is the Apostle Paul. Paul is nothing. And then he says, Apollos is nothing. And in your maths, what is nothing and nothing? Nothing. But then it goes on to say, regarding Paul and Apollos, they founded the New Testament church. Paul preached and 3,000 became converted in one preach. And yet these guys were considered nothing. But you see, God can do, or the Holy Spirit can do so much with the little that we have. Because the little we have is concentrated. What about the young boy who brought the lunch to Jesus? Imagine 5,000 people, and he seems to be the only guy there that's had some sense to bring some lunch. Would you open your box of food in front of 5,000 hungry people? No. I used to know a guy I worked with, he could peel an orange in his pocket and you wouldn't even know. Unravel sweets and you wouldn't even know. He'd light a cigarette in his pocket and you wouldn't even know. He could do all this stuff, but would you share that stuff? No, you wouldn't. But this boy give his lunch to Jesus. Bring up God's mass again. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Just say it was 5 plus 2 is 7. Maybe that would feed 7 people. Or multiply, 5 times 2 is 10. Maybe it would feed 10 people. But no, God's arithmetic, 5 plus 2, 5,000 people plus. Because God can do a lot with the little we have. It's concentrated. I try and imagine what it would be like for that boy when he went home and mum said, did you eat all your lunch, son? He said, no, I give it to Jesus. And what did he do with it? Well, he fed 5,000 people. And then, you know, she probably says, what if I told you about telling fibs? But, you know, again, Jesus can do a lot with the little that we have. I know I've preached on this before, this particular subject, but I just remind you of this. In 2 Kings in the Bible, it talks about the prophet Elisha. And he goes to a lady who's desperate because her sons have been taken as slaves because her husband died and left a debt. And it was okay to do that in those days. It was a law. And Elijah comes to her. She's desperate. And he says to her these words. He says, "What do you have in your house?" And she says, "Nothing." As a second thought. And then she said, "Except." Nothing except a little oil. And so he says, "Well, just take the little oil, go and borrow loads of bottles and jars and pour the oil into the jars and keep pouring and keep pouring and keep pouring." And that's exactly what happened. And that day, her except became absolutely exceptional, exceptional, because it filled all the pots. And Elisha says to her, "Go and sell the oil, pay off the debt, get your sons back and live off the rest, a pension pot for the rest of her life, better than any pension companies today, because our God can do a lot with the little that we have." Concentrated. And secondly, salt is distinctive. It has a flavour of its own. It can't be mistaken. I don't know, in your younger days or even in your older days, did you ever sit in a cafe and undo the salt pot and pour, undo the sugar pot or the sugar bowl and pour the salt in the sugar bowl? Did nobody ever do that? No. I asked this at Horwich last week. Nobody confessed. I don't believe that for 1 minute. Someone must have done that. And then you sit there and you wait and watch for someone to pour the sugar into the tea, but actually it's laced with salt. But it's distinct. Now, don't give your ideas now. It's distinctive. It's an absolute distinctive taste. And this is what the Bible is saying when it talks about us being salt. It's actually saying, you, me, we are to be distinctive and not bland. There's an interesting scripture in the Bible. It says this, because we can be easily influenced by what goes on in our world around us and form into its pattern and its mould. And it says this, don't let the world shape you into its mould. Our role is to be salt in this world and to turn bland to flavour. The fact is, you are distinctive. You might sit there thinking, I'm anything but distinctive. I want to tell you, you are distinctive. The Bible says this about you and about me, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I want that to really sink in about you as an individual, because you might think that about somebody else. But the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Before you ever heard of colour TV, God had given you coloured vision. Before you ever heard of central heating, God had given you thermostatically controlled central heating in your body. Before you heard of computers, God has given you a computer brain. He's given you a heart that beats from the day before, when you were conceived, to the day you die. It never stops. This is amazing. It never stops. It never has a break. 100,000 times a day your heart will beat. If you live to 80, it'll beat 2.5 billion times. Each hour, pumping 12,000 miles of blood around your body. That's the body that you live in, that God has given to you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is nobody like you. I'm going to read an article at the end that really fits in here, but I want to read it at the end because that's what I want our focus to be as we finish the preach this morning, that you are very, very special and that there's nobody like you. You are distinctive. So salt is concentrated. Salt is distinctive. And they're probably the one I just spend the most time on here. Salt is a preservative. This is really important. Long before we had fridge freezers and deep freezers, they used to preserve food by using salt. Now, there was a process since ancient times, and this is what it's called for freezing or prolonging the life of fish, meat, and certain vegetables. And it's a process called osmosis. And it simply means that when you put the salt around the food, the salt draws the water out of the food, preventing bacteria and mold from forming in the food, which would cause food poisoning, and taking hold so that the food becomes inhospitable for mold and bacteria, which means it extends the life of the product. So that's what they used to do with salt and with food before you had your freezers. Do you feel educated this morning? It halts or slows down the process of decay. That's the line I want you to get. It halts or slows down the process of decay. And that is what we are meant to do when we are salt in this world. Halt and slow down the process of decay. Preserve goodness and resist corruption. Now, what's important about the salt bit, different to the light, is that it can only work by contact. So when we used to live as a young boy in Shewcroft Avenue in Denton, every Friday, a man would come round with a motorbike and a sidecar, and on the sidecar, he'd lift it up, and inside would be fish. He was a Friday fishman. And the surround of the sidecar was packed with blocks of salt. And then thrown on top of the fish was salt crystals. And this was a whole idea. It was preserving the fish by using the salt to do that, to halt the process of decay. But what I'm pointing out here is the salt had to come into contact with the fish. You couldn't just at your meal get a salt pot, keep the lid on, and just pretend to pour it over and hope that it would save the food. The salt has to come into contact with the food. And similarly, as you and me and we rub against, and I don't mean literally walk up to them like this, but as we rub against people and we influence people with our daily, we are trying to be salt in this world as well as light. We all influence people or are influenced by people to some degree, good or bad. And that's important that we know that it's important who we mix with. And when I'm looking at Jesus, there is something about him that rubbed off on people as he came into contact with them. And often it was, he took them out of the crowd, but looked at them individually and did something. I notice also with the disciples, there's a great verse where it said that they healed the lame man. And then the people said, but these aren't learned people. This is the apostles. These aren't learned people. These are educated people. These are just ordinary people. And then it says this. It says, they took note that they had been with Jesus. See, because when we are close to Jesus, something rubs off that then we want to rub off onto other people. That's why there's a great passage in the Bible, and it talks about this. Listen, this is about you and me. It says, 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says this, you are the aroma of Christ. You are the aroma of Christ. So in other words, when we rub up, there's something about you and me that's supposed to affect people in a way, and they, in a sense, metaphorically speaking, they smell Jesus. I can remember, you know, and it doesn't matter, a lot of things we say isn't irrelevant, it's how we are with people quite often. I remember listening to an evangelist many years ago, and when he preached, I don't know whether you go off the camera when you're going on, but when he preached, he'd come right down here, and he'd be walking past, and he'd be going like, and he's quite an exciting guy, and then, but every time he went past, he smelled great. And I'm thinking, what's after? I'd really like to know what aftershave is. And I remember going to him afterwards and saying, hey, I noticed when you went past it smelt really good. And I said, what's the aftershave? He said, night flights. I've never heard of night flight. Anyway, you can't get it anymore, so don't even try that. But he said, night flight. But then I realised, I don't remember a word he said, but I remember his smell. And the Bible says, you are the aroma of Christ. And sometimes people might not always remember what you say, but just something of the rubbing off, the effectiveness of being salt can affect people's lives. It also says this, and coming back to light now, it says that we reflect the Lord's glory. So it talks about being the aroma of Christ, took note you'd been with Jesus, but you also reflect the Lord's glory. So I don't know whether I listened to the preachers. I don't know whether it actually came up in any of the preachers. But one thing that really stands out to me about us being light is the fact we have no light source of our own. We reflect the Lord's glory. So there's many great lights in our world that don't have a light source of their own that you might not even realise. The moon, I was looking at it last night. It has no light source of its own. It's the sun that reflects from the moon that you see moonlight. It can only give 7% of the sun's rays, only 7% come from the moonlight to what we actually see. But it has no light source of its own. It is just a reflection of the sun. And the Bible says that you and me are to be a reflection of the sun, not the S-U-N, the S-O-N. We reflect the Lord's glory. Many, the lifesaver for many people has probably been in the road, just the middle of the road, cat's eyes. I mean, when it's foggy, you are dependent on those cat's eyes. You think they're lit up. They're not lit up at all. It's just a reflection of your headlights, just some little glass balls. No lights of its own. And we have no light source of our own. We simply reflect the Lord's glory. We are the aroma of Christ. People need to see and take note that we have been with Jesus. So halting the process of decay was simply what Jesus was about as he mixed with people and rubbed shoulders with people. There was a lady caught in the act of adultery. And you know the story. She's brought to Jesus and everyone wants to stone her because that's the law. And then Jesus writes in the ground and then suddenly they all disappear when he says, him that's without sin cast the first stone. And then he speaks to the woman and he says, then I don't condemn you either. And he said, basically, this is what I think he says. He says, change your lifestyle. You're worth more than that. And she goes away a different, changed person because she's rubbed shoulders with Jesus. Because that's how it works with salt. The woman, again, the Bible says, it always seems these people were picking on women, doesn't it? Jesus sees her at the well. He's not supposed to speak to her because she's a Samaritan, she's a woman. And he challenges her on her lifestyle. Says, you've got five husbands and the one that you're with now isn't your own. And then simply she realises the Saviour, he's the Messiah, he's the King. And so she goes and tells people all that he knew about, everything he knew about her. And he basically, Jesus just says simply, stop sleeping around. You're made for better than that. And salvation came to the household simply because she rubbed shoulders with salt. A man called Zacchaeus, incredibly small man, wanted to see Jesus when there's a big crowd following him. His angle was, I'll climb up a tree and I'll be able to see him. And it's funny how so often Jesus, with crowds, he interrupts what he's doing from a crowd to deal with an individual. And here he links with this individual called Zacchaeus up a tree and he says, hey Zacchaeus, come on, we're going back to yours for a coffee, a latte or whatever in those days. Going back. And there Zacchaeus says, I'm going to make restitution for everything that I've done wrong simply because he touched, rubbed shoulders with salt that brought savour. And as salt, we are meant to be preservatives and halt the process of decay to make our world, our workplace, our college, our school, our street, our home, a better place in the here and now. I wonder if the band could come back up, please. So as well as being called light, we are also salt. Back to the start. Does that mean we are cheap, disposable people? No. Does it mean that we are to bring change and savour to the world with the little that we have? So I'm just encouraging you, maybe the next time that you pick up your cruet sets, your salt cellar, or you have a little bowl in the table and you take a pinch of salt, I want you to remember that Jesus says, that's what you and me are to be like. Which means we all have the potential to demonstrate the characteristics of salt. That we are concentrated. You only need a little. So let's not underestimate ourselves. God can do a lot with a little that we have. That we are distinctive. We're not bland. Don't let the world shape you into its mould. And that we are preservatives. As we rub shoulders and come into contact with other people, we are doing the best to halt the process of decay in what seems to be an ever-increasing crazy world in which we live. So Jesus didn't just say, you are the light of the world, which you can be from a distance. He says, you are the salt of the earth, which can only happen by contact. If you're able, I'd just love for you to stand, please. I'm just coming back to this when we said about we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And I just had an article. It's a very old article, but I want to read it just as I finish. I'm going to read the article. It's only brief. And then I'm going to pray. And then the band are going to come in with the song that I've asked for today, because it says there that I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. And I want you to focus on the fact of what Jesus said. He says, you're light and you are salt. You are distinctive. You're special. So as I read this, just I've asked you to stand because I want you to really focus and know this is about you, not about somebody else. Obviously, this isn't from the Bible. It's just an article that somebody's written. It says, you're special. In all the world, there is no one like you. Since the beginning of time, there's never been another person like you. Nobody has your smile. Nobody has your eyes, your nose, your hair, your hands, your voice, your fingerprints, your DNA. You're special. No one can be found who has your handwriting. No one anywhere has your taste in food, music, and art. No one sees the things just like you do. In all of time, there has never been anyone who laughs or cries just like you. You're special. You are the only one in all of creation who has your set of abilities. No one will ever walk, talk, or think like you. You're special. You're rare. And in all rarity, there is great value. So because of your rarity and value, you do not need to imitate others, but celebrate your difference because you're special. Father, I just thank you this morning because your word tells us quite emphatically that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we thank you because as individuals, you are actually saying, I want you to be salt, but I also want you to be light. And as salt, we thank you that you can do a lot with the little that we have. We thank you that you will help us to be distinctive in a bland world. And Father, I just pray that you'll help us, just like Jesus did as he met people, you will help us to be that preservative that halts the process of decay in our world. Pray, God, that you would help us today to realise how special we are to you. You said that we are the apple of your eye, the pupil, the part that is protected, the part that is precious. I pray we will go from this place knowing that we are special to you and that we can be salt in this world. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that song together, shall we? Thank you, George.